just to blow the finance department's hat just a little bit, or horn a little bit, the 2017 CAFR document was the 25th year consecutively that the city received the Government Finance Officer's CAFR Award document. There are very few cities or governments in the state of Wisconsin which can make that statement. That's a testament to my predecessors, not to me. So I just want to point that out. We've had it for 25 years. This document will be submitted, and I would expect would again receive that award. So if we talk about the general fund, that's on page 32 of your report, at least the summary of it. It's called Exhibit F. On that document, you'll see that the revenues, we had $25.7 million worth of revenues. That was $670,000 more than budget. The largest revenue increase was on the charges for services. We changed accounting for highway costs coming in and highway costs going out to be on a gross basis as opposed to a net basis. And by what I mean is when we have these various developments across the city, we hire an outside agency to come in and inspect those, the install of those assets. And we then go back and charge the developer for that inspection fee with a small administrative cost added on. In the past, we only reflected the amount that the city added to that cost as a revenue. In this report, there were $500,000 worth of these fees this past year for activities around the city. And so that $500,000 was recorded as a revenue, but our budget was something like $20,000. So that's the big difference there. You will also see that the public works costs on the expenditure side exceeded budget, and that's because the $470,000 related costs now show up as a cost and were not budgeted. And I did not include that in the budget amendment at the end of the year. So our expenditures of $24.9 million, which again you'll see on that page 32, Exhibit F, is $1.4 million favorable to this, to the budget that was there. Essentially, that becomes the contingency that you established when you put your budget together. So money we never expected to spend, we used very little of that, and it was all recorded in the general government section, so that's why general government is so favorable. The total expenditure, the restricted contingency, I would think, was $1,280,000 in your budget, and it's very close to this $1.4 million. The other departments and activity levels were very close to budget. If you want to see the detail of this, you can go to Schedule 3, which is on page 102 and 103 of your CAFR document. That details the revenues and how they appeared by line. And if you want to see the expenditure detail by the budgetary appropriation unit, technical term we use, that's in Schedule 4 on page 101 and 102 of your document. So you can see those details in those places. General fund in total had a budgeted deficit of $1.4 million. As Mr. Knipple pointed out, we ended up with $650,000 worth of a surplus. $1.2 million was a restricted contingency. We didn't use that. We budgeted $80,000 for a tax refund. We didn't need that yet. That will be needed in the future as some of these things that you'll talk about at council meetings for challenges to assessments potentially take place. So that $80,000 will eventually be used. And then we budgeted $65,000 for a one-time retirement cost for various parties who were retiring. We did use most of this. But on balance, the swing of $2 million between budget and actual result, $600,000 of that was on the revenue side, and the unused contingency was on the expenditure side. Put those two together, and that's that swing. In your fund balance, as John mentioned, there's a $6.9 million unassigned fund balance in the general fund. This is on a short-term basis. That represents 26% of the 2019 budgeted expenditures, and I exclude from that the contingency reserve. So because we don't plan on spending, I don't include it in the total, and you're still within 26%. You've got $123,000 of advances to other funds, water utility on a pension contribution, needed some cash, we took that from the general fund. some inventories, and some encumbrances. Two other major funds that are reported. Now we're looking at Exhibit D, which is page 30 of this report. On that particular report, you have the debt service fund. This is the fund that records the payments on debt, not the borrowing, but the payment. We have a $247,000 surplus this year. That's because, for two reasons, we budget transfers from the development fund into the debt service fund as we collect impact fees for police, fire, transportation, the library, and then those fees, to the extent they're available, get transferred over to the debt service fund. We also transfer some fees in from a sub-fund of the debt service fund. As we collect special assessments, we'll transfer it into this fund. We levied a little bit of tax levy this past year for an anticipated borrowing, $5.6 million, if you recall, in the 2018 budget. We didn't do that, and so we didn't need the interest cost, but we did levy for that. There is nearly $1 million fund balance. We'll have to have some discussions as to how you want to spend that down, probably through a reduction in the debt service levy to use this up. Once you transfer funds into the debt service fund, by state statute, you may not use those funds except for debt service. And until the debt service is completely retired, you can't transfer any money out of that fund. So we don't want to put money into this fund unless we're going to actually use it for debt service. Something for us to think about in the budget process. The other major fund, as John mentioned, is our TIF districts. Currently, we have four TIF districts. District 6, the most recently added district, was opened in October. Very little activity. But TID 3 has a $740,000 surplus. TID 4 had a $110,000 deficit. But that's because we recorded the $1.2 million in a contract you awarded to an engineer to do some engineering services there. We've only used about a third of that, but the full $1.2 million is charged as an expense. If we end up canceling that, that'll all come back to this particular fund. And then in TID 5, we have an $8.8 million surplus for the year, borrowed $23 million, only spent about $14 million, so that $8.8 million of debt proceeds shows up as a surplus that will get spent in 2019 as those project costs. All the TIDs added together had a $10 million surplus, $9 million in TID 5, and small surpluses in 3 and 4. The TIDs have a $12 million fund balance. Again, if you look at the schedule, and I don't mention the page here, it's Schedule 9, but I don't know the page. Schedule 9 on page 115 gives you the detail to that $12 million fund balance. $8.7 million of that is in TID 5, and $3 million of that is in TID 4. So we've been accumulating tax increment in TID 4. We've talked about that at several meetings.
Well, what happens to the ballpark comments for the benchmark in the assessed value and the difference on that for the short?
The benchmark?
Well, they were supposed to reach a certain assessed value.
Oh, okay.
So how is that reflected?
So let's focus on page 1. I would then direct your attention to we have the TID balance to find out. TID budgets is on 10. Page 118 of your CAPR document gives you the budget for TID 5, actual results versus budget. The tax levy that we actually had for last year was $30,000. Our budget was $30,000. So the expected increment for the year of 2018 was what we expected, what we originally put in the project plan. For 2019, we do not expect that to be the case. Development has occurred a little slower than we expected, and so we'll run short. And that is why we've been telling you in some of the meetings that we would anticipate demand on the developer to make up part of that shortfall.
Right, so we won't see it in this. It'll
be in the next month, next CAPR document. Actually, the next two, and then after that, we should be pretty much back on plan.
Okay.
If everything holds.
Well, can we
sure.
You're going to get money.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. On the non-major fund side, so that's the, if you go back to Exhibit D, which is page 30, that non-major fund column, the individual details of that are in Schedule 2 on pages 100 and 101, with the special revenue funds that we're talking about on this slide on the first page. That's page 100. All of these funds combined had a surplus of $288,000. Individual funds make up portions of it. It's the library, it's the solid waste fund, it's your tourism commission. Those are the larger funds in this group with larger surpluses. On the fund balance side, $1.8 million is the fund balance for this whole group. The largest fund balance, $500,000, the library auxiliary, $140,000, $430,000 in the solid waste fee, $376,000 the tourism commission. That commission started collecting hotel taxes in the last 2 years, hasn't really spent much yet in 2019. We would expect their expenditures to begin to move on up, and they'll spend part of that fund balance. If you move forward to page 101, these are your capital project funds. There's six funds in here, the four capital projects, capital outlay, equipment replacement, capital improvement, and street improvement, four different types of capital outlays. And then two other funds, the development fund. That fund controls the collection of impact fees and then the transfer out to other funds. And then there's a utility development fund. So we'll talk about each one individually. Not a lot going on in anyone in particular, but a couple of interesting things. Capital Outlay Fund had a $72,000 surplus, but we have $98,000 worth of encumbrances. So we have a $425,000 fund balance, but if you spend off that 98, you're at $327,000, which represents about a third of the annual expenditures. Equipment Replacement Fund, like I mentioned, we have a $2.6 million fund balance. There are a lot of expensive pieces of equipment that are scheduled for replacement in the next 3 to 4 years. The largest one is a ladder truck in the fire department. Could be $1.2 million, could be $2 million. That'll use up this fund balance in a hurry. And we may end up, if all of that equipment gets purchased in the next 3 or 4 years, we may actually have to borrow money in this fund to deal with the expenditures that are required. So this money is spoken for, and it continues to have a a structural deficit in this fund because our annual revenues do not meet the charges that should be going in. On the street improvement fund, we had a $100,000 surplus. Just the contract came in favorable. We have a $400,000 fund balance. Annual expenditures are about $1 million, so we can use some of that periodically. And in 2019, we'll actually use about $100,000 of that as we don't get some state aids. There's biannual state aids that we put into this fund. 2019 will be the year we don't get that, and so we'll spend it down a little bit. Capital Improvement Fund. We have
Before we leave the street improvement fund. So you're saying you have some fund balance in there, and I was, the city engineer was here and asked this question. We're going to be repaving portions over in the 37th and 36th Street Rawson Homes area, and we're going to be laying down the driveway approaches, but then the road issue is not really being taken care of. It seems to me like there would be some funding savings if we just did the approaches at the same time we did the road, but it's not scheduled until next year. So is this a possibility that we can do that and maybe save some money is the question. I guess I'd like you to see if you can talk to the engineer about it.
I'll make a note to talk to the engineer about that, but clearly there's a $400,000 fund balance in the street improvement fund. And should council decide that you want to resurface those streets now that the utility work is done, there are funds here available. It would take a budget amendment because that expenditure was not contemplated in the current year.
We're going to do
next year, plus we're doing those approaches, so I'm just looking at all one-time savings and cost savings while the equipment's out there. So that was the idea.
Okay, I'll have to have that conversation with the city engineer.
And then on the capital improvement fund on that same page 101, there was a transfer in. Could you talk about where that transfer in came from and then what makes up that $3.3 million fund balance and how that all got there? I know it's on the council agenda, and I haven't really read the whole thing about who's doing what, when, and that, but just something.
I'll bring that issue up with the city engineer. So the alderman is asking about page 101. There's showing to be a transfer out of the capital improvement fund of $101,000. If you look at that schedule in the capital outlay fund, that $101,000 was transferred over to the capital outlay fund. You may recall that in early 2018, there were a couple of projects. There was a project in the capital improvement fund, a police project, I believe, which came in about $100,000 or $125,000 less than what we anticipated. And so there was some capital expenditures that we chose to run through the capital outlay fund. So we transferred those excess balances from the capital improvement fund back to the capital outlay fund to fund those, and then the expenditures are recorded in the capital outlay side. The other question the alderman had is the $3.3 million fund balance in the capital improvement fund. That fund balance is made up of the following pieces. The City Hall roof HVAC project was identified a number of years ago. The council authorized a $1.2 million transfer from the general fund to the capital improvement fund. I believe that took place 2 years ago. That $1.2 million continues to be in this fund, and an accumulation of landfill siting fees to total a $1.8 million fund balance. So, I'm sorry, $1.8 million total. That's what's in this fund balance related to the City Hall roof project. The Drexel at 51st Street roundabout was a project in 2018. It did not occur, but we had $750,000 that we borrowed to deal with that. So that is still sitting in the fund balance. Pleasant View Pavilion has $265,000 as part of this fund balance. That's the city portion of a smaller project than what's in the 2019 budget. And the police have an emergency vehicle preemption program for $137,000. That was a 2017 project that's still unspent. And last but not least, we borrowed $158,000 to purchase parkland to be combined with park impact fees, and that money is still in the fund. If you put all of that together, that's $3.1 million of the $3.3 million fund balance that's sitting in there. So those projects, many of those are carried forward into 2019.
Yeah, and I guess I'm just, my other favorite project is trying to get the Pleasant View Park and the impact fee spent on that in a timely manner because of our possibility of return. So that is one of those projects, and the funding is in here, and I think we need to move forward on that because we've already carried it over from last year. So I think
that project's been carried over for a number of years.
Yes.
Going back to the development fund, since the alderman brought it up, currently the development fund has $2.6 million of impact fees, has a fund balance of $2.6 million. About $3 million of that is related to parks, and a little over $1 million of that is related to water. The other impact fees that are in that $6 million balance are much smaller in nature, and as the alderman points out, our park impact fees, we have an expenditure period that expires at the end of August of this year. And unless there's some park expenditures that occur prior to that, we will begin to rebate back impact fees in September of this year.
Still waiting on the adjustments for the bid package to come.
The longer we wait, the more likely it is we will have to rebate those fees. So we need to get resolution to those particular issues. The actual expenditures in 2018, there were $350,000 for the park expenditures, the River Park Trail, Ernie Lake Project, and the Pleasant View, some planning costs related to Pleasant View Park. Those were the major items in that fund. The Capital Improvement Fund had a fairly sizable budget, about $22 million. Most of that was the project cost for TID 5. Because there's no special assessments, the project costs were all tracked then strictly within TID 5. If there were going to be special assessments on those project costs, then we would have run it through the Capital Improvement Fund. We didn't need to do that. So then we go to the utility funds. There are two. I'm going to talk about the sewer fund first because the Common Council has more control over that particular fund. These are found on page 35, Exhibit H of your report. The fund had $3.7 million in revenues. That was very flat to the prior year. Had $1.8 million as an operating deficit. As John Knipple pointed out, that is substantially the depreciation on the Ryan Creek Interceptor. Without that, the fund would have had probably a small surplus. So depreciation contributed on the contributed assets is the primary reason for the deficit in that fund. It does, the sewer fund does have a $1.6 million unrestricted fund balance that can be used for working capital or other project expenditures. But there is a $3 million project planned for 2020 in this fund. We do not have those resources available to us. So when you proceed with that project and you've now committed a fair amount of engineering and other kinds of costs to that project, the sewer fund will need to go out and borrow monies, as we reported to Common Council in September of last year. On the water utility side, $6 million worth of revenue, that's down slightly to the prior year. There were less water volume because it was a wet summer last year, so there was just a slight reduction in revenues. Operating costs of $5.5 million. We spent a major effort in the water utility 2 years ago to control our unbilled water. That is water that comes into the system that we pay our wholesale supplier for at $3.12 per 1,000 gallons that we don't bill because it gets lost through various leaks. We went through a major program in the water utility 2 years ago to identify those leaks, and our water loss in 2017 was down to 8.8% of the water purchased. That's the lowest it's been in a long time. In 2018, that moved back up to about 13%, still very controlled, and has allowed the water utility to generate some excess funds. There was an $485,000 operating income in the fund that last year, and there is $3.3 million of unrestricted fund balance that can be used for, as we said, operating needs, working capital, but also capital expenditures, and the water utility is going to spend $1.3 million of that this year on the replacement of the Rawson Homes water main relay project.
Hey, Paul, on the water leak, I know we spent quite a bit of money trying to figure that out. Did they ever find the main source of the problem on that leak?
It was me. That was at 89.
What they found were a number of leaks in the city, both in services, which are the laterals that go to people's homes, and there were a few leaks in water mains. But it's never one thing. It's always an accumulation of multiple ones. And we found a lot of leaks, we repaired those leaks, and now we don't have the water loss. And so that's where it comes from. But it was split between services going into homes, the laterals going into homes, as well as water mains. And it does translate to real cash, because we pay our supplier $3 a thousand for every thousand gallons that come into the city, but if it doesn't run through a meter, we just pay the supplier and we never get any money for it.
Well, I think that's important because, you know, when you drive around your neighborhoods and sometimes you see this water coming through, in one part of my district where you see the water just coming through the asphalt, and you're like, well, what's going on here?
If you see that, you should call the water utility and ask them to go investigate, because it could be just plain lost water. John made the comment, I'll make the comment, it's in the report, our utility rates are artificially low. We are not generating enough through our rates to pay for the cost of replacing the infrastructure. And the reason it's important, and Franklin is different than other cities in this particular case, because in our city, 75% plus of our infrastructure, the mains that flow through, or that carry the water, as well as the sewer mains that take the waste away, 75% of those assets were donated to the city or paid for with impact fees and or special assessments. Because of that, they're not in our rate base, and we're not charging rates to pay for the cost to replace those. So the $1.3 million that the water utility is going to spend this year to replace those mains were donated to the utility. There's nothing in our rate base to cause us to recover that. Once we pay for the main relay, we will be able to get that on the next rate case with the Public Service Commission to get our rates increased to cover that. The $3 million project that the sewer will have in 2 years, or in 2020, none of that is in our rate base. And so when that expenditure takes place, we will have to raise our rates, as we reported to you back in September of 2018. When we make that expenditure, we will have to raise the sewer rates to begin to pay for that debt that we take on, and we'll be required by the debt to do so, because they'll want to make sure that the rates are enough to make the loan payments. So we are looking at some rate increases in our utilities in the not-too-distant future. That pretty well covers what's on those particular slides. Just for the council's purposes, I did email to each of you this afternoon a copy of all these slides, so if you want them, they're in your inbox, your electronic inbox. We have one other fund that we don't talk a lot about. It's the Internal Service Fund. This captures our health care costs for active employees, not the retirees, but for the active employees. It had $3.2 million in resources. $2.4 million of that came from the city, from various funds. The library fund contributes. The general fund contributes. The water utility, the sewer utility, all those funds contribute employer share of premiums to this fund. Employees contributed $456,000 in 2018 to this fund. There were $3.4 million in benefits paid out. The fund had a $150,000 deficit. Our fund balance declined from $3.2 million 3 years ago to where now there's only $1.7 million in this fund. We have been trying to set rates to slowly decline this particular issue, this fund balance. At some point in time, we won't be able to set rates lower, and our employee and our employer rates will have to go up to cover this cost and at least get to a break-even point from year in and year out. Now we're going to move and talk a little bit about the government-wide statements. Everything we've been talking about is the budgetary statements, the short-term basis, where debt proceeds is revenue and debt payments are expenditures. Now we're going to take a look and say debt's debt, and you got to find a way of revenue to pay for it. So assets are used to deliver services, special assessments billed out or not collected. They're still considered revenues and resources available. Employee benefits that are deferred to the future, pension payments that aren't covered, and post-employment benefits, these are now recorded as expenses on this basis. The debt used to finance capital projects is recorded on the books in this particular basis. This is on your exhibit A and B. It's a very short two-page report. The statement of net position, your balance sheet, is on page 26, and the statement of operations, which are your revenues and your expenditures, is on page 27. That's the item that John alluded to in his very first set of comments. We have an unrestricted net position. Those are the resources available to pay for costs of operating the city. That fell by $16 million. We had an $11 million surplus in 2017. At the end of 2018, we had a $5 million deficit. That $16 million swing is